Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. Inside Harvard Football, presented by The Coop, a Harvard tradition since 1882. Well, another Harvard tradition has been 1-0 every week, as is the mantra of Coach Orrick, and worked out well in New York City for week 8 last week. Escaped from New York with a 31-14 victory. A little more decisive than the final score with the Crimson's early dominance. And Coach, as we welcome you in, I know just the coach's mentality, he had concerns. I know you referenced everybody telling us how good we are, which is never a good thing. But the fact that you took a couple of shots there early in the game and responded. I mean, these games have really kind of settled into a remarkably repetitive pattern over the course of the year.
Yeah, it was they came in and they had a good game plan. You know, they were looking to shorten the game and sustain drives to keep our offense off the field. And to do that, they executed well on third down in that first drive and got it down there. And luckily, you know, they didn't get any points out of it. You know, I said, oh, yeah, it's a great game plan. You know, makes sense. They got a Harvard grad as their offensive coordinator. So, with Saitu being their offensive coordinator. But they're highly motivated when you come out there. It's Friday night, national television. They're playing Harvard. You're going to get their best shot. And I think the guys really responded well in that first half, you know, to take completely control of the game.
No question. You mentioned that early drive, 20 plays on that opening drive. But again, the bend don't break was in evidence. The fact that the Columbia drive did stall at the 8-yard line, you got to stop, and then the missed field goal. And just from a coaching, just to put yourself in John Poppy's cleats for a moment there, a 20-play drive executing all the way and coming away with no points at that point, that was really agonizing on the Columbia side and indicative of the type of season they've had and the type of season that you've had, which has been completely trains going in opposite directions for this season.
Yeah, and when they missed it, I was like, let's go. Now's the time. You know, they didn't get any points out of it. Let's get a drive going. You know, it was a lot of energy after we got that stop, and they missed it for sure.
No question, and came right back with a very efficiently executed 10-play, 80 drive with Bascon. You know, once again, we never know. We're up top. Okay, who's up? Who's going to be the first horse out of the stable? And in this case, Bascon, he did have one big chunk run, 29 yards, but he was a big part of the drive. And it seemed like a big part of the plan was, correct me if I'm wrong here, but a real respect for the interior, the more to the interior of the Columbia defense, the fact that you got Henry involved early, it seems like you thought it was going to be advantage to the edge for your offense.
Yeah, just, you know, their defensive scheme, you know, makes it tough to run the ball inside there. They got so many human beings in the middle there. So we had to get the ball in the perimeter and, you know, have the ball hit in C gap in the run game to kind of loosen it up a little bit. And, you know, X was seeing it well. You know, that's the one thing you with so many good running backs, you know, when you find one who's seeing it well out there, you want to make sure they continue to get the ball, and he had a great game.
He certainly did with just under 100 with 94 for the game with his work. But once again, statement, you took a punch, responded, got the lead, and then added to it with a couple of INTs that figured prominently. Sean Lyon, who's just been getting better and better, just a comment on just the athletic play that he made on that particular interception, and just it seems like if you had any conception of what his ceiling is, he just seems to take it to another level in terms of how impactful he's been.
Yeah, that was such an athletic play that he made on that one. My only problem with it is that you let a quarterback tackle him. I thought he'd be able to score a touchdown on that thing. Quarterback made a heck of a play to get him down.
That's right. Goodwin was forced into that situation not once, and then And then with the Jack Donahoe, almost a pick six, it set it up at the two. So he didn't quite get all the way to the end zone. But once again, as far as the disruption on the defensive side, not surprisingly, you've had, you know, great turnover margin all year, and two turnovers factored in prominently in season control of the game.
Yeah, that should have been a touchdown. We had 9 of 10 guys immediately went into sideline return mode, because that's our only offensive play we have on defense. You intercept the ball, sideline return. One guy didn't do it, and he ended up in the way, and also then blocked a block guy. We got tackled at the two. So I made sure, I'm not going to call him out on this, but I made sure to bring that to his attention on Sunday when we watched that clip.
Exactly. It only takes one in that particular situation. So, Craig, he finds Gilmartin, and you find the 14-0 lead. You get the three and out, which sets you up for a subsequent drive. And it seems like every week there's at least one, sometimes multiple, balls that the Jaden delivers that we all kind of sit back and say, well, yeah, I guess that's why there's a lot of NFL teams that have been hanging around Dillon Fieldhouse and around Harvard Stadium. And the ball to Kaufman, Coach. And once again, you don't know who it's going to be on the other end. It's like, oh, you know, okay, where's Kaufman been? Oh, there he is. And that was just a big splash, a chunk of reception, that 58-yarder to get your thing set.
Yeah, that throw, like, the thing that Jaden is doing really, really well right now is, you know, he's throwing the deep ball to these guys in these one-on-one matchups where they got some separation, and he's letting them keep that separation. And it's, you know, it's a different guy that he's throwing to every time, and his ball placement is just elite right now. You know, you get those type of chunk plays, that completely changes your offense. You know, those are flower yards when you don't have to grind out five, 6 yard gains in the run game. You just get a big 50 yard chunk on a big play. So, I'm hoping he can keep those coming this week.
Well, indeed the case. And then, you run a little offensive, tip drill. Tattersall, who hit the big target, looked in his direction, and it was just like he drew it up, was deflected to the back of the end zone where Gilmartin was ever cognizant of keeping his feet in as he made that catch.
Yeah, and it was not only keeping his feet in when he had the ball, but keeping his feet in when he was near the sideline. Because if he stepped out and came back in, he couldn't be the first person to touch the ball. And whether he realized it or not, he was just in bounds as he made his way towards the corner there when the ball went up in the air. And that's why they reviewed it, because they were taking a look at that to make sure that was the case. Now, luckily, we had the video down the sideline. So as they were reviewing it, I had already reviewed it and knew he was in, so I felt good about it, even though they were reviewing it. But it was a great concentration by him to make that catch.
Absolutely. And no matter what the situation was, he'll tell you, yeah, Coach, I knew exactly what I was doing. I made sure.
Yes.
that'll be his claim anyway, but that worked out rather well. Gilmartin, another guy's extraordinary athlete to be able to witness. And Bascon, again, factoring in heavily, 12-play, 64-yard drive. All of a sudden, you turn around, and from a 20-play opening drive for Columbia, they kept the ball more than half of the first quarter. It's 28-0 now late in the first half, and you were able to add on again and get to the break at the 31-0 with Core adding a short field goal. But again, what a dramatic turnaround, Coach, from the beginning of the game and what your expectations might have been, and Columbia, as you pointed out, with all the motivation they had and all the intangibles and the very close relationship with the Harvard staff. All of that going. I was down on the field, and it was kind of a reunion. I saw Chris and some of the guys on the other side, and Coach Poppy. But now all of a sudden, you go to the locker room, you get a 31-point lead.
Yeah. It was. You know, the guys have done a really good job all year of just being able to focus on one play at a time and executing. So even when bad things happen, it's about learning from it and then moving on to the next play. And you know, we're playing at a high level when we execute at a high level. And when you get 11 guys to do that consistently, you end up in positions like that while going into halftime.
No doubt. And then academic in the second half with, I guess I can use that word since we're talking Ivy League football. It was academic in the second half as far as the result. Columbia did score twice in the second half, but well in control. And again, you look at the stat sheet, and nine, for the third time this season, eight games, nine receivers getting touches. And, of course, the array of running backs that we talk about. And, the depth, the wearing down effect, and the challenge that you have and Coach Fine each week to really kind of architect and define about who is going to get those coveted touches in this offense. It seems like whoever it is has been stepping up and really leading to a good element of surprise for any of the defenses that are trying to plan for you.
Yeah, and the group of offensive skill, you know, they just want to win. So they definitely have the right mindset that, you know, there may be games where their production's significantly higher than others, but they're all embracing their role, and they know that eventually they'll get some touches. And they're playing really hard, and they're executing what they're being asked to do. So it's a fun group to see in action in practice, and then get to watch them on game day for sure.
And you pointed out all season there really is a team concept and a very, I would say, an unselfish quality to these guys and an eyes on the prize quality to these guys, which is very inspiring to see from week in and week out. You've talked about just the overall demeanor of this team and how they all seem to be pulling the rope in the same direction.
Yeah, they know really they're all defining their own personal success by our ability to go 1-0 every week. And when you have a group of young men like that that have that as a mindset, it's a lot of fun to be around, a lot of fun to be able to coach them and get to be around them every week.
No doubt. And once again, the way that this linebacking group has come together this year, this was a great example of how active they were on Friday down at Columbia with line making eight tackles. And you had with Kim Locke with eight, Kirkwood with six. I mean, these guys, you know, really, for the reps, the responsibility, what you've asked them to do this year and coming in, it really has been, dare I say, it's really been a reload more than a rebuild at the linebacker position. Has it even exceeded your expectations as to just how well these guys have functioned with the fact that they did, you know, not have really the experience, just not any fault of theirs, but just the fact that you had such a solid group a year ago?
Yeah, I mean, coming out of last season, I was, you know, that was a group that I wouldn't say I was concerned, but I was unsure of where we were at just because they had not played a ton. But it's a tribute to all those guys and the work they put in from January till now, because they are no doubt better versions of themselves as football players than they were last year at the end of the season to now, and even when we started the season. That's the goal every year. If you're a development program that's developing your guys and putting in the work in the off season to continue to develop them, anybody who's staying the same, like, something's missing. So that should be happening in every position. And that's a group that definitely took a big jump. And I think they're playing at a higher level than we were last year as a whole in that group, just because of the work they put in.
Well, great, great, great tribute to them. And once again, you get the right people, and that's stats in the recruiting process, and the rest has a tendency to take care of itself from there. And my profile this week, a Crimson profile, offense, defense, usually back and forth. Well, we're going to go special teams this week, and I'm going to have the opportunity to talk to Dylan Fingrish, and just to get your take, your perspective on him. He certainly is a multi-talented and contributes in a number and has contributed in a number of different ways to this program.
Yeah, I mean, he's a jack of all trades. He came here to be a kicker, and, you know, he got into school on his own, walked on the team. You know, he was a high school wide receiver that also kicked. And, you know, you can tell that just he's very comfortable with the ball in his hand. So we've asked him to hold. We've asked him to kick. We've asked him to punt. Every time we put him in position, he's so poised and like just so fun to be around, super bright. Like, he's going to be really, really successful when he's done with Harvard. I have no idea what he's going to do, but he's going to be really successful at it. He's really turned into the leader of that group too, because, you know, it's a young group. It's a bunch of sophomores and first years. And he's kind of taking control of that group and, and keeps them in line during practice and keeps them active during practice. And, you know, if I told him tomorrow, hey, you gotta be PAT field goal guy, he would go out there and be ready to roll. Really enjoy, you know, getting to work with him and, you know, getting to know him, you know, this first year and a half that I've been around him.
Well, if you're listening out there, there's a stock tip. Buy shares in Dylan Fingris. You heard it from Coach Ora.
That's right. That's right. Some alum's going to be very lucky to hire him when he's done here.
Indeed the case. And next up, Senior Day, Military Appreciation Day. You've been the camo has served you well with the military appreciation aspect and also honoring your senior class here, the 2026. It'll be Penn. Penn, the team, they were picked sixth in the preseason. You were on record as saying you thought that was rather low estimation of this Penn team. You expected more out of them. Ambushed clearly last week. I don't think anybody really saw that coming in their home field. Just a third quarter disaster. Things really just fell apart for the Quakers in the third period and the loss to Cornell. But I'm sure you're looking at them as no less dangerous an opponent this week.
Yeah, I mean, turnovers can make a game like that get out of hand. And that's really what happened. They are really, really talented. Those two receivers they have, you know, all these NFL scouts come through, and I always ask them, hey, where else are you headed in the league? They're all headed down to Philadelphia to see those two receivers they have because they are NFL-quality receivers. And I'm a huge fan of their quarterback. He is just a great athlete, you know, they do some really cool stuff schematically with him in the run game. It's a challenge because they throw a lot at you, a lot of formations, a lot of, you know, different run schemes, you know, different RPOs. They're putting those receivers in different spots. So I've been really impressed with their offense. Their defense is, it's a classic Penn, tough defense, physical. Their middle linebacker, 44, Lista, he runs sideline to sideline and is hits hard. And he's always around the ball. It's definitely going to be a really good challenge for us. And, you know, as we continue to move along in the season, they're going to be the biggest challenge we've had so far for sure. It's good timing because, you know, if we're doing this thing right, we're getting better every week. We want to be in this position where we have to play a really good opponent late in the season with a lot on the line.
And one other note that I had, Coach, on the special team side, looks like they got a kicker that's got some long-range distance with Walker. He had a 47-yarder last week. And in the return game, they got kind of a home run guy in the return game who was the special teams player of the week back 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so they had a returner get hurt who was Stokes, who's their running back. He was a receiver last year and moved to running back who – beginning of the year was like multiple time and then he got hurt and then they put in another guy and he got special teams player of the week. They're really dynamic. They're, you know, I get analytics every week and their special teams is the top one in the league.
And they
do a really good job. They coach well, they're schematically sound. And then they just have really good players out there and the return game, particularly with the, you know, number 12 in there, he's a threat.
Mm-hmm. And ready for Saturday. And the Penn, as I always say, the Penn game is the penultimate game on the Harvard schedule. And coming up on Saturday before the game will play out in New Haven. Coach, the 1-0 each week has worked out rather well. And best for this week and another 1-0.
Thank you very, very much. Let's get as many people out to this game as possible. It is not going to be as cold as it was Tuesday. Everybody, let's get you out there. Let's be loud. Cheer on the crew.
Absolutely. Noontime, you'll be back in the square with a cocktail at about 4 o'clock. So there you go. Absolutely. Coach Yorick, thank you. And thank you to the Harvard Coop for presenting Inside Harvard Football. Inside Harvard Football presented by the Harvard Coop, a Harvard tradition since 1882. Well, welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. Inside Harvard Football presented by the Harvard Coop, a Harvard tradition since 1882. And our player profile this week, which is sponsored by the Harvard Federal Credit Union, we're pleased to have with us. Well, we've gone offense, we've gone defense, maybe not enough love for special teams. This guy is truly special, a true utility player. You can plug him, you can play him in a lot of different roles, and he's performed them all very admirably in the context of the success of this Harvard team. And we have with us a sophomore from Ladera Ranch, California, Dylan Fingrish. Dylan, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be speaking with you.
Well, Dylan, I guess with you, it really starts with, I guess, the V word comes to mind in terms of versatility. A number of different roles that you performed for this team this season. And when I can't help but think back here before we talk a little bit about this season and what's ahead for the Crimson. I'm sure that your mind, I mean, you're only human. Your mind must be drifting back a little bit to last season, the last time that the Crimson and the Quakers clashed down at Franklin Field. You were called upon with the seconds waning in the football game and was able to convert a game-winning kick. That's one, if you're a kicker, I guess you probably dream about that one, to have an opportunity to win one. You had that opportunity as you booted that 21-yard field goal for the Crimson to prevail on that afternoon.
Yeah, that was a really, really special day. It was really awesome to be part of that win and what ended up being that first Ivy League championship as a freshman. It was also my first field goal for the team, so first collegiate field goal. But, yeah, it was a very, very surreal day, a very surreal moment. It was very awesome that I was able to be put in that situation and the team trusted me.
Well, it was far from your first field goal. We'll talk a little bit here about your background and California football. You're one of the states that's noted to be highly competitive and send players in big numbers to college football, the D1 ranks, and to the NFL. And just to go over the resume, three-time All-State recognition, All-Orange County, played in the senior All-Star game, All-South Coast, All-Seaview. You were senior captain of your team, not surprised, when the special teams MVP three times, and 205 career points. So you had a few field goals, I would suspect, among those 205 career points. It wasn't the first time you were lining up for one.
Yeah, definitely not. I was extremely lucky in high school to have a special teams coordinator and head coach that took special teams very seriously, as they do here, which isn't always common in high school. But yes. I was able to start on varsity from my freshman year and was given a lot of opportunities, which was a great help for me as I developed as a kicker and football player.
Yeah, four-year performer as both the kicker and punter, so you had all the kicking responsibilities for your high school program. How did you gravitate towards that in terms of the punting and the kicking? You know, it is a specialty skill. Was it something? I know you also had a soccer background, so you played some soccer. But how did that develop for you? Was it an influence? I mean, were you out there and working on the kicking game from the time of maybe youth football, or did it come later?
Yeah, so I'd say I'm kind of like the prototypical kicker where start out with soccer. I played soccer my whole life. I had never played tackle football until my freshman year of high school. And my freshman year of high school was that weird year that was affected by COVID. So the football season just kept getting pushed back further and further. So I was essentially doing like fall camp from August all the way until we ended up getting to play a season, which I think was in March. So I got a lot of time to get used to football and kind of what it was like to be on the football team, which I think is one of the main reasons I was able to have the success that I did. I was almost a sophomore playing my freshman year of high school. In that year, I learned a lot about football. I learned the offense. I learned the defense. I was playing wide receiver and safety on that freshman team. And then was also in my free time kicking and punting whenever I could. And then that season, we had a senior kicker that was kind of more of a soccer guy. And so I was given the opportunity in the second game of that season to kick for the first time on varsity, and that kind of is what stuck.
Yeah, I mentioned to Coach Orrick when I interviewed him for this week's program that you would be my player profile, and he sang your praises and how many different roles you have played for this team. But he also reminded me you were primarily a wide receiver. You said wide receiver and safety, but primarily a wide receiver coming out of your high school program. So you had experience on both sides of the ball in addition to playing on the specials.
Yeah, I loved playing wide receiver. I had a really exciting offense back in California, that West Coast style offense where we'd throw the ball like 75% of the game. we're big on those 7-on-7 tournaments. So I've spent a lot of time doing that in the off seasons, played a little bit during the season as well. Didn't play as much in the fall. My coach was trying to limit my reps with kicking. It always seemed like a thing where I would play all 7-on-7 season. We get to the season, he's like, hey, these first few games, don't want you to get hurt. And I would focus more on the kicking side of things. But yeah, was really involved with the offense in my high school. We had a really great offensive coordinator. It was a lot of fun to play there.
Indeed. And then my curiosity about the opportunity to come to Harvard. What was the recruiting process like? And when you had the realization, hey, I've got an opportunity to really do something special, to have the opportunity to come to Harvard, let alone to come to Harvard to play football.
Yeah, so I'm actually a walk-on on the Harvard football team. I was in contact with a lot of the coaching staff through the whole recruiting process. Back when Coach Poppy was the special teams coordinator and then when Coach Crawford was the special teams coordinator, I came out for a few game day visits and some of the camps and stuff like that. Really, really loved Harvard. Harvard had always kind of been my dream school since I was really young. But with Kieran coming in with the class, they used the offer on him. So when Kieran committed, I kind of went through the academic side of the admissions process, got into the school through regular decision. And then right when I received my acceptance, I immediately reached out to the coaches because I knew I wanted to play and talked to Coach Williams. It was right when he had gotten to Harvard, right, like that spring ball period after Coach Orrick was hired. Talked to them, got everything kind of figured out. And then I think it was like May when we finally confirmed, like, hey, I'm going to be able to play. And that was very, very surreal, very exciting moment for me because I kind of had finished up my senior year of high school not knowing if I was going to get the opportunity to play football again. And so the fact that I am every single day, I count my blessings that I'm able to be part of this team.
Oh, no question. I think everybody is with the impact that you've had. And, you know, sometimes sometimes opportunity comes to you. You come to opportunity. Sometimes the school comes to recruit. And sometimes you have an opportunity to have the process of selling yourself and coming to the school. So you really did that, took the initiative to make sure that you were known. And you mentioned about your academic background. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention school valedictorian and a four-time scholar athlete of the year for your school. So the academic resume was in pretty good order for you to be able to have an opportunity to live this dream that you are now enjoying.
Yeah, I mean, academics have always been a huge part of who I am. They've given me the opportunity to be here today. The fact that I'm playing Division I football is a testament just as much, if not more, to my academics as it is to my athletics. And that's one of the reasons I also love it here. I feel like there's such a great balance. We take football incredibly seriously, but there's also so much support that we get across the river in regards to our academics from the coaches and from all the different administration and the athletic department at the school. And I think it's a really, really unique opportunity to be at Harvard and be able to play such a high level of football while also taking advantage of such world-class academics.
Mentioned about academics. You're a major applied mathematics leanings to the world of computer science and economics. I mean, this was quite extensive when I looked at what you've done and what you're working on academically. Two-time finalist. Tell us about the bridge building program that you were involved in, just for one example of one of the pursuits that you've had, one of the initiatives that you had. I was fascinated by this stuff and the depth of it.
Yeah, in high school, one of the cool things about, I went to a public high school called Capistrano Valley High School in Southern California, and they put a lot of emphasis into like different career development programs. And they had an engineering program that I was part of all 4 years in high school. And during one of these classes, we were kind of going through like a civil engineering section, and we were learning how to make these model bridges. And I took kind of what I had learned in that class and submitted it into a local competition. That I ended up winning. And so I secured funding from the school district. They flew me to Philadelphia my sophomore year and then Chicago my junior year twice for the international bridge building competitions. So I essentially built these little tiny balsa wood bridges that were, I don't remember the exact specs on it, but something around, they weighed like 13 grams or something like that around there. And then they could support almost 50 kilograms. So it was a pretty cool activity, and that was one of the things I was passionate about in high school.
Wow, that's and that's all led in the direction of the interest that you have now and the and pursuits that you have now, a lot of volunteering work that you were involved with prior to Harvard, and now at Harvard also the Financial Analyst Club, and I looked at your profile there with how you've really focused and gave a lot of credit to the academic rigors. I mean, it's real. Every time I talk to student athletes, I've been doing this for a long time and working with Harvard now. People, they maybe don't realize that, as you mentioned, great athletic opportunity that you have with Ivy League football, but the discipline they have to show, I know you referred to it, the time management, the performance under pressure, all things that you referred to, that all resonates with what you are to be able to perform your academic duties and responsibilities at a high level and to be able to practice and devote the time to the football. It's really a special skill set, if you will, to succeed on all those levels, Dylan.
Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely – it's a great skill to be able to develop, and being able to be a student athlete here, I think, develops that even more than the average person has like the experience with. So I think it definitely will serve all of us very well as we enter the workforce or whatever like the future holds, these skills are going to be very valuable for us.
No question. And I notice you also have talked about the use of data and technology and decision-making and being able to combine all of that to move forward. You've got, I think, a lot of very compelling interests beyond with your football career. But the business at hand now, one of the, I guess, advantages to being the punter in this Harvard football team, you don't get called on that often, but when called on, just looking at your numbers, you've averaged 40 yards a kick and have been able to be successful in dropping kicks inside the 20. You've got two that are plus 50. What about your overall perspective? Give us your perspective on how you punted the ball this year and how that skill has translated to game day and how it will continue to develop with hopefully a lot more football to play for this team.
Yeah, it's been a very cool role that I've been able to step into here. In high school, I was definitely more of a kicker. I only punted in about 5 games my senior year, and that was kind of it. So I didn't have a ton of experience punting kind of coming in here. And then coming in that walk-on role that I did, I had a conversation with Coach Williams pretty early on, talking about how I could be the most valuable to the team. And he told me to learn to punt. Last year we had Sebastian Tasco, who's a senior, and he was the only punter in the program. And so I kind of spent the fall last year learning under him. And then I spent the spring developing that skill alongside my kicking. And coming into this year, I was kind of ready to do whatever was needed of me. I kicked in that first game against Stetson. And then unfortunately, when Brian Sheckley went down that second week against Brown, I was kind of ready to go. So kind of came in, found my stride pretty early, which I was very happy with. And I've been able to kind of sit back there, have a really, really good long snapper in front of me, a really good unit protecting me. And so it's been pretty easy. And then it also helped, I am not punting as much. I think I looked the other day, I think I punted almost 1/4 as many times as some of the other punters in the league have.
That's right. That's the advantage of the prolific offense that Jaden Craig has been at the controls of. It's certainly been fun to watch for all of us. And I guess you don't spend a lot of time indoors, but I look at some of your hobbies. You cite surfing, mountain biking, off-roading, snowboarding. You really enjoy the outdoors there in your native California and very active, it would appear.
Yeah, I love being home in California. Out here, I'm still a little acclimating to the cold, but it was nice to go home this past summer. I was able to work my internship remotely, so I was working in the morning, and I'd get in the car, I would drive around. I had, in the back seat of my car, I had like a boogie board, I had a spike ball net, I had a bag of footballs in my cleats, and I would just go, I'd go kick, and then I'd go play spike ball at the beach. I would kind of spend the day outdoors.
Well, trust me, as someone who's lived here my whole life, you never really get acclimated. You just tolerate it.
Yeah.
To be able to get through the winter. But, the summer's on the horizon there. You get back to the beach. I love the beach myself. It's a limited season around here, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
And I also noticed that you like to travel. Where have you been in your young life at this point? Cool spots that you've been to on the travel?
Yeah, I've been blessed enough to be a lot of places. My family has always kind of emphasized experiences as like a key part of how we spend time together. So we try to travel as much as we can. This past summer, we've been a really cool trip. I was in Paris and Greece, saw some really cool sites there. Summer prior, I was in Italy and Spain in London. I've been a bunch of different places. I think I've been 16 countries now at this point.
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, it's something I absolutely love to do, learn about the history of these different places. I'm really, really big into food, and so really enjoy trying different cuisines and stuff like that. The Italian food in Italy was life-changing.
Oh, that's really special. Great to hear that you've enjoyed and you got a long way to go. And if you got 16 already, you'll be racking those countries up, I think, as time goes on. No doubt about it. You'll be hitting many more. Sure,
that's the goal.
Indeed. And this week, business at hand, it's Penn. And once again, the mantra of Coach Urich has worked out really well. 1-0 every week has worked out well. Your thoughts on facing Penn? And any insight that you can give us about punting in the stadium at this time of year and some of the challenges that you might endure? I know it was quite windy earlier in the week for some of your practice time.
Yeah, this week's always an exciting week. As you know, like the last 2 years have been such exciting games. UPenn also was one of the schools that I was looking at the most during the recruiting process. So it was a little bit of like it's a special week for me. But with regards to the team, I think we're excited. We're treating it, like you kind of said, like every week. We got to go 1-0 every week. Doesn't really matter who we're lining up against, and we just got to do our job and execute. So we know they have a good returner back there. Number one, was like the number one returner in the Ivy League, and then unfortunately he got hurt.
Yep.
They replaced him, but their new guy is, I think, now the number one returner in the Ivy League. So that's a big challenge for us in the kicking game. But besides that, we know that we just have to do our job from a special team standpoint. With regards to the stadium, Harvard Stadium is always kind of a windy stadium. We've enjoyed so far this year that it hasn't been too windy. We've avoided the rain, stuff like that, but we're kind of prepared for whatever. We had a very windy practice on Tuesday, which is always good whenever we can get the experience at practice going into the game. So if our windiest days are at practice, then we'll never be surprised when it comes to game day.
Absolutely. That Tuesday experience that you had, that may pay some dividends for you. The fact that you had to work your way through that. Good point.
Yeah, definitely.
No doubt. Dylan, thanks very much. It's been great to have you on the show as our Crimson Profile. And best of luck and hang them high when the time comes.
Thank you. Great speaking with you. Looking forward to hearing the episode.
Absolutely. Dylan Finglish, our Crimson Profile sophomore kicker, California, from Ruggiero Ranch, California. And great to have him join us here. Our Crimson Profile is sponsored by the Harvard Federal Credit Union here on Inside Harvard Football, sponsored by the Harvard Coop, presented by the Harvard Coop, Harvard Tradition since 1882.